Hello and welcome. You are about to participate in an exciting verse-by-verse Bible study. This program offers an exegetical, historical, grammatical approach to the Bible. Our host, pastor-teacher Bob Utley, tries to corroborate his teachings from five areas: word studies from the original languages, grammatical construction, context, parallel passages, or historical and cultural insights. This is one of the several series that Bob teaches weekly. Get your Bible, and let's begin our prayerful study of today's lesson.
Hello. As the last few lessons, we've been doing themes in Proverbs. Today we're going to look at human speech, or words. Such an important concept in the Bible. Again, I want to remind you that the Proverbs offers a unique kind of emphasis, but it's an emphasis that must be balanced from other parts of Scripture as a triad of types of revelation: the law, the temple, the prophets, and the sages or the wise men. And so I'm going to open up this program with a few opening statements that I'm going to take from Proverbs. But then I'm going to close this lesson with the same statements taken from the New Testament. And I think we're going to see the expansion, and also that these truths that Jesus talked about, that Paul talked about, have their incipient form in the Old Testament. One reason it's so important we study the Old Testament is you can't fully understand the New until you understand the Old. And most, not every, but the vast majority of truths developed in the New Testament have their seeds or their incipient forms in the First Covenant. Now, several statements. Number one, human speech enables us to communicate to others on how we feel about life. Now, because of that, our speech is going to reveal who we really are. Let's look at a couple. Proverbs 18:2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Do you catch that? The fool is going to talk, and as he talks, he's going to reveal who he is. Now, another one is chapter 4, verse 23. When you look at 4:23, at first it doesn't seem like it's talking about speech. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. But if you look at verse 24, you'll notice that it talks about the mouth. And so out of the mouth is going to come the things that really make the person. We know the person by what they say. If we were in the New Testament, we'd go to Matthew 7. By their fruits you shall know them. And here in this context, by their words. And one more I think is important. Speech is the acid test of the person. Psalms 23:7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Oh, that's a very important verse. Friends, you are what you think. Not when you're trying to be around people you want to impress, not when you're trying to put on a show for this group or that group, but what you think about in the quietness of your own solitude, recreation, business life, that's who you are, fella. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. B. We are social creatures. We are concerned with acceptance and affirmation. We need it from God. We need it from our fellow man. Words have the power to meet these needs, both in the positive, and I want to read a couple of these positive ones. Let's look at Proverbs 17:10. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows to a fool. Now think about that. As you know, wisdom is exhortation. It's a rebuking. It's sharing with someone their weaknesses as well as their strengths. To a man of discernment, this sharing, this speaking to someone in a real sense about, hey, what's the matter with you? What are you doing? Is very, very important and valuable to the development of the person. But also, it can be used in a very negative sense. I want to read Proverbs 12, verse 18. I hope you'll turn me in your Bible as I read these. There is one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You know, I think if we're going to see this at the end of our lesson on James chapter 3, the tongue can devastate and destroy. What took years for God to build, the tongue can destroy in a moment. It's like a sword, the thrust of a rapier, and you can't take it back. You can't undo the harm it does. That's the power of the human tongue. For blessing, for healing, or for cursing and destruction. There is tremendous power in human speech. I want to read Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. Now listen to this about the power of the tongue. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. There's tremendous power. There's a power to bless and to heal. Let's go to Proverbs 10, verse 11. Proverbs 10, 11 and 21. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. In Proverbs 10, 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. The lips of the righteous feed many. It also has the power to curse and destroy. Let me read Proverbs 11, verse 9. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Well, there's power in human speech. We reap what we sow. That's true in the spiritual realm. It's true in the physical realm. It's true in the speech realm. Proverbs 12, 14. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, but the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. You catch the thrust there? Our words will come back to us. We will reap the fruit of them. Now, with that in mind, let me go then to a characterization. And of course, this is you might get a different thing than I do. You would probably find a few more Proverbs than I have here. But I've tried to go through Proverbs as a whole and pick out some of the significant categories. And I've done it in two ways. Proverbial wisdom about human speech in its negative aspect and then in its positive aspect. And I want to deal with this negative aspect, the negative and destructive potential of human speech. I have 10 categories. It's going to be a bit laborious to you to listen to all of the different references I give, but I hope you'll try to write them down or send for our free outline of these lessons, and we have all these in the printed material. The words of evil men. I'm going to give you a few, and then I'm going to read one. Chapter 1, verses 11 through 19. Chapter 10, verse 6. Chapter 11, verse 9 and verse 11. Chapter 12, verse 5 and 6. And the one I want to read is Proverbs 26, verses 23 through 28. Listen to this now. Like an earthen vessel overlaid with glaze are burning lips and a wicked heart. He who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Through his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. He who digs a pit, he will fall into it. And he who rolls a stone, it will come back on him. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Beware of evil men and what they say. Come, join us. Destruction is there. The words of the adulteress. Boy, Proverbs deals so much with watch out for the strange woman, watch out from the adulteress, stay away from your neighbor's wife. Chapter 5, verses 2 through 5 is a very interesting one. The one I want to read is chapter 6, and I hope you'll turn there. I just want to read a part of this. But verses 24 through 28, the whole context goes 24 through 35. To keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress, do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her catch you with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for a precious life? Can a man take fire into his bosom? Can his and his clothes not be burned? Can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? Look out. Here are some other ones I think are equally true. Chapter 7, verse 5 and following. Chapter 9, verses 13 through 18 and 22-14. The lure of the adulteress's words. Number 3 is the words of a liar. There are many listed here, but I'm not going to read any of them. You might want to take these down. Chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. Chapter 6, verses 10 and 19. Chapter 10, 18. Chapter 12, verse 17 through 19 and verse 22. Chapter 14, verse 5, verse 25. Chapter 17, 4. 19, 5, 9, and 28. Chapter 21, 28. 24, 28. 25, 18. And 26, 23 through 28. Oh, we're warned against lying words. The words of the fool. Now, here again, there's several listings. A fool in Proverbs is the man who lives as if there is no God. It's not practical atheism. It's just someone who doesn't plan. It's kind of a comical character. He's kind of a nerd in the area of spiritual things and the area of physical things. Chapter 10, verses 10 and 14. Chapter 14, 3. Chapter 15, 14. And the one I want to read to you is chapter 18, verses 6 through 8. Chapter 18, verses 6 through 8. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare of his soul. The words of a whisper are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost part of the body. Talking about gossip there. Another category I think is interesting is the words of a false witness. And I want to read the first one, which is chapter 6, verse 19. I hope you'll turn with me there. Chapter 6, verse 19. Now, by the way, chapter 6, verse 16 through 19 are six things the Lord hates. Three of them have to do with human speech. Here's 19. A false witness who utter lies and one who spreads strife among his brothers. False witness. See chapter 12, verse 17. Chapter 19, verse 5, 9, and 28. Chapter 21, 28, 24, 28, 25, 18, and I think that kind of closes that one out. Now, the words of a gossip, a talebearer. Chapter 6, verse 14, chapter 6, verse 19, we just looked at those. Chapter 11, 13, and the one I want to read for you is in chapter 16, verses 27 and 28. Chapter 16, verse 27 and 28. A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are a scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. You might also want to look at chapter 20, verse 19, chapter 25, 23, and chapter 26, 20. Another one is the words rashly spoken. Somebody says something quick, like a vow or a promise or something. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 5 speaks about rash words. Chapter 12, verse 18. Chapter 20, verse 25, and the one I want to read for you is in chapter 29, verse 20. Hope you'll turn me there. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. A man with rash words. Another one I think is interesting is words of flattery. Boy, beware of that. Chapter 29, 5. And I was surprised how many times it says in Proverbs, too many words are a problem. Well, that's bad for those who teach and preach, I guarantee you. Too many words. Here's some of them. Don't say too much. Don't always be talking. Chapter 10, verse 14, verse 19, verse 23. Chapter 11, verse 13. Chapter 13, verses 3 and 16. Chapter 14, can't read my own writing, I think 23. Chapter 15, 2. Chapter 17, verse 27 and 28, chapter 18, 2, 21, 23, and 29, 20. And finally, perverted words, twisted words, 17, 20, and 19, 1. You say, Bob, why are you giving me so many parallel passages? Now, remember, my friend, I've talked to you about how do you interpret Proverbs. You don't do it by historical context. You don't do it by literary context. You have to do it by parallel passages. And parallel passages, are a thematic approach, is the only way to do Proverbs. And so as you look these up, you'll get different shades of meaning about each one of these nuances of meaning. Now let me cover quickly the positive and healing and edifying potential of human speech. Human speech is very powerful. Here are some good things. The words of the righteous. Oh, there's some beautiful ones here, and I want to read several of them for you. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, and the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. How about that same chapter, chapter 10, verse 20 and 21. The tongue of the righteous is a choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools die for lack of understanding. And also I want to read in chapter 10 again, verses 31 and 32. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but a perverted tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted. Here are some other ones I think interesting. Chapter 12, verse 14. Chapter 13, 2. Chapter 15, verse 23. Chapter 16, verse 13. Chapter 18, verse 20. The words of the one who discerns truth, the discerning one, 10, 13, 11, 12. The words of the one who has knowledge, 15, 1, 4, 7, and 8, and chapter 20, verse 15. The words of healing, we've already read it, chapter 15, verse 4. Let's do it again. That's such a beautiful one. 15, 4, listen to this. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. Oh, my. The words of a gentle answer. Oh, this is a beautiful one. Listen to this. Chapter 15, verse 1. I'm going to read several of them here. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Chapter 15, verse 4. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. Chapter 15, verse 18. Listen to this one. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention. And then verse 23, a man has joy in an apt answer. How delightful is a timely word. Isn't that beautiful? And then you might well see 16:1 and 25:15. The words of a pleasant answer, chapter 12, verse 25, and it's in also chapter 15, verse 26, that same chapter we're just in. Evil plans are an abomination to the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. And then verse 30, bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. And then the words of the law, the man who's going to teach the law to people. Chapter 22, verse 17 through 21. Now that's kind of a characterization, I think, in Proverbs of some of the ways that human speech is talked about. Now I want to spend the rest of our lesson now showing how the New Testament builds on these truths and kind of fleshes them out. The outline is going to be very familiar with the opening statements that I made. Number one, human speech enables us to communicate to others how we feel about life. Therefore, it reveals who and what we really are. Let's go to the words of Jesus, and let's go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, 1 through 20. I can't read all that, of course, but it's this whole account. The same thing in Mark 7, 1 through 23. When Jesus came to talk to his disciples, they are worried about what a person eats that defiles. And Jesus said, it's not what goes in a man that defiles him. It's what comes out. For it's out of a man. Listen to these. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witnesses and slanderers. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Sometimes I think we don't realize what a man says will tell us who he is. Remember that proverb? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you let him, he's going to finally speak what he really is. We are social creatures. We are concerned with acceptance and affirmation. We need it from God. We need it from our fellow man. Words have the power to meet these needs, both in the positive. And what I was thinking about there is that beautiful passage about the inspiration of the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, where it says that our exhortation, our encouragement, our rebuke, when they come from the inspired Word of God, have great healing and power. I like that. Then the negative side of that is probably the most famous passage anywhere on the tongue. It's in James chapter 3. It covers 10 verses, and I want to read those to you. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body as well. Now if we put bits into horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships also, though they are very great and are driven by strong winds, still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, a very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among the members of our body as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed, but has not been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. By with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes forth blessings and cursings. My brother, these things should not be. Does a fountain send out from the same opening fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. What he's saying is this little tongue. I liked what Martin Luther said about the tongue. He said, be careful of your tongue. It's in a wet place and liable to slip. I think that's good. The power of human speech, in a negative sense, it can destroy. You know, I remember when I exegeted this passage, this word for hell here, this is the only place in all the Bible outside the word of Jesus that the word Gehenna, which should properly be translated hell, is used. Our tongues are set on fire by hell. God help us. We need to be able to control them. See, there is tremendous power in human speech, power to bless. And I want to read Ephesians 4:28. Ephesians 4:28. Hope you'll turn with me so you can see how your translation says this. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need for the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear it. Boy, what a good word. And the power to curse, James 3. With it we bless God and we curse men. Both are inappropriate. We are responsible for what we say. How important that is. And then finally, we will be judged by our words. And what do I mean by that? Well, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 and 34. Matthew 12, 33 and 34. Listen to what Jesus says. Neither makes a tree good and the fruit good, or makes the tree rotten and the fruit rotten. For a tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Look at verse 36. I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render an account for it in the day of judgment. Look at verse 37 now. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. We're going to give an account of every idle word at the judgment seat of Christ. This same thing is said in Luke 6, 39 through 45. It's always amazed me that judgment is going to be not only in the fact that whether we know Christ or don't know Christ, but if we know Christ, it's going to be shown by how we live. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. And what we say. You know, it's always been important to me that Romans 10, 9 through 13, we use so often to talk about that whoever calls the name of the Lord shall be saved. It talks about that we are with our mouths to confess. I think there is a significance about praising and confessing orally and verbally. Our mouth too often is used for the evil, for the angry, for the irritated instead of for the blessing and the praising and the faith. So I think our mouth is a very, very important thing. Human speech is one of the most significant things we work with. Proverb gives us some good practical guidelines. Jesus in the New Testament really tells us about the significance, the importance, and the power of human speech. My friend, watch what you say, for you may have to answer for it. Well, I've really enjoyed being with you, and I'll see you again, same time, same place, next week. Remember, in this lesson, look up these proverbs in different English translations, and it'll really help you to interpret these, and make a list for yourself as you read through Proverbs, and write your own categories. It'll help you as you study this. God bless you. Have a good day.